The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
We left off with the Broads on a ship, and of course, nothing went exactly as planned while they were on that ship, because they're now in a battle. And we will see how that battle fares, and if it turns out anything like they expect, which of course, spoiler, it won't. 'Cause you're listening to The Broadswords. Waves crash against the ship as an explosion erupts next to it. Water splashes up onto the deck, and your ship heels to the side, sways to the side, does a thing to the side from the blast. And you still see those two ships in the distance, and there is trebuchets going around, Magnells or ballistas, and all sorts of things happening. It is chaos. It is loud. Yularis, Where are you located on the ship?
I mean, I just cast a fireball at them, so I think I'm at the point of the ship that is closest to the enemy ships to get me the best range. So I guess that would be the stern.
Okay.
Would that be the stern? Are they coming from behind us? Or are they kind of to the side?
They're kind of coming at the side at this point because you're kind of like shooting your weapons at each other and stuff.
Well, in that case, I think I was like sort of near the captain.
Okay, like
near
the
wheel, yeah.
Yeah, up on the top. Oh, I can give out the handout of the parts of the ship.
Yeah.
Show to players. There you go.
Yes, I'm next to at least one cockboat.
Okay, so but you're up in the forecastle.
Yes, the forecastle.
The forecastle. It's pronounced forecastle.
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 Which is adjacent-ish to a cockboat.
Yes. The main deck is in between you
yes.
and the cockboat.
It is.
Yep. Yep. So you're in the forecastle. And we have Keela. Same question. Where are you located? You are on one of the guns, right?
I was on one of the guns, so I think I would probably be on the gun deck, whichever side would be facing them. However, you have to keep in mind that I was preparing a spell, so I don't think I would necessarily have my hands on the guns at this moment because I'm holding my prepared spell.
Okay. And Maypree, where are you located?
I believe that I was below deck with the ballistas. Is that where they were? There was like things.
I think
you were
the ballistas
shooting.
Were on top of the deck. The mangonels.
Yes, I have written
or
that
was
word
it vice
so many
versa.
Times, and I did not know how to pronounce that mangonel.
I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. I just made it up, and I'm sure if I am pronouncing it incorrectly, there is someone out there who is willing to tell me how to pronounce it. So we're fine. Whatever. I don't care. Tell me I'm wrong all you want, people.
Whatever was below deck, whatever artillery we've decided was down there is what I was assisting in operating.
Yularis.
Yes.
The ring on your hand begins to get warm.
Oh.
You feel a tingle start to spread up your forearm.
I think I would sort of, direct my focus towards it and maybe just, like, start twisting it a little bit and try and concentrate and just think at it. What should I do?
The sounds start to fade around you. They become more distant. Explosions happen, but they get further and further away until finally they're just barely noticeable. There is a swirl of color, as if like there is sand all mixing together. And then you are standing on an outcrop of rock that juts out into the ocean, watching black ships about 30, 40, maybe even 50, that are sailing toward a city. This is a familiar scene. This is one you witnessed in a recent dream of Maypreez. The view pans out. It is as if you were watching from miles away suddenly, up from a vantage point.
Do I see any evidence of the dragons?
You do not, but there is movement, and 7 golden birds swirl around you in a spiral, faster and faster. Wind builds up around you, your hair flies around your face, and your skirts start whipping about your legs. There is a loud cacophony of sound as their beating wings crescendo around you. A golden light flashes, dazzling your eyes. How are you feeling, Ylaris?
Whiplashed from one really intense situation to another, and fear and exhilaration and just overwhelmed.
When you can see, when your eyes can focus, 7 gold dragons surround you, sitting on their haunches in a circle.
Huh, how close?
They leave about a 10-foot distance between you and it. Them. They're quite large and
really
close.
Big. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. They're like full grown. And they how informed is Ylaris on the aging signs of dragons?
Is this something? I think this is something I would do a roll for, maybe.
Yeah, I think nature?
Okay. 15. So, like, sort of.
Yeah, I mean, there are certain areas, they're gold dragons.
Mm-hmm.
And they're huge. They are like gargantuan. But there's a bit of around their eyes and at the corners of like their mouths. Some of their scales aren't as shiny as others. And you get the impression that they're old. Mm-hmm. Like old, old, like ancient, old.
Well, that's fun.
I think she, like, you know, when the light was sort of blinding, I imagine her sort of crouching down and like hiding her eyes behind a sleeve, and then sort of like standing up and seeing this around her, and I think trying to mask her trembling as much as possible, she tries to assume sort of a respectable countenance, standing upright and smoothing her clothes out and just sort of looking around and clearing her throat awkwardly a few times. And Hello. Hello. Ylari's Roaring Horn, and who might you be?
There is one dragon who is off, I guess, to your right. They lower their head down so that they are looking directly into you. You can feel the exhales of their air through their nostrils, and it's quite warm.
Nothing is as it seems,
they say. And they move back. And another one from in the opposite direction starts speaking.
There are always multiple viewpoints.
And then another.
All choices matter in that they affect the future, but futures can always be altered by action.
Yes, that is a wise counsel. Do you have any, perhaps, dragon's eye view on our current situation that might enlighten us as to what's going on?
Three choices were given to you,
one says. And then another one picks up the conversation.
All three choices bring you to the same place.
Right. Did we make a bad choice?
One who is perhaps the largest of the group takes a step forward, and you can feel that step in the earth. And he lowers his head, and his voice is big.
Wise isn't necessary when the wisdom was provided to you. But your choice would not have been mine.
Good to know. Do you, the boats that are currently attacking the boat that we're on, how do you feel about them?
There are many friends on many sides, and there are often sides that do not need to be sides. Your actions dictate the future. It matters not who you go with. It matters what you do when you go with them.
Great, wonderful. Thank you. I'm sorry, I'm so rude. What was your name?
The first one who spoke.
Those speak to Ani as Kurya the Eye.
The large one speaks.
Maroshok the Tall. Borkad the Claw.
Songrad the Wing. Grumar the Voice. Thranaxia the Present.
Urgala the Fang.
We are the seven great gold worms of Baphomet,
they say in unison.
Well, the pleasure is all mine. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedules to...
This is not done.
No.
Not done. Not done.
Not done.
Not done.
Not done.
Not done.
And they all rise up into the air, and that backdraft from their wings buffets you and pounds down at you from the sheer force of seven ancient gold dragons lifting up into the air. Maypri.
Yes.
You are loading ammunition into your weapon there. The ring on your hand begins to grow warm.
What is this? Am I falling asleep? No. I'm gonna start slapping my face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with one hand. I like got like one hand trying to like help load the... I don't know if we were using like trebuchets or whatnot. And then the other one, I'm slapping my face. This can't be. Wake up.
Will saving throw.
Because that's what I excel
That's what
at.
Barbarians are known for. Their will.
9?
You're slapping yourself. No. Wake up. And as you do this, you're putting the ammunition into it. Suddenly, the ammunition in your hand becomes insubstantial. And you can watch as it fades and your surroundings fade. You are in a field full of little white flowers. The sun is high overhead. Someone with strong arms is spinning you around. Who is it? How old are you? And where are you?
Oh, these are questions. Heck, can you repeat that one more time, please?
You are in a field full of little white flowers. The sun is high overhead. Someone with strong arms is spinning you around. Who is it? How old are you? And where are you?
During my childhood and my forced tenure, you could say, I didn't have a lot of opportunities to do anything but serve the priests of the temple. However, there were occasional times in which I was able to escape. Maybe even at the age of like 9 or 10, I met my very first adventurer, I called her. She was the toughest street urchin around. She commanded all the other street kids and set them in order, and I learned a lot of my basic survival skills from this person, and we definitely spent an extended time with each other. And this memory, this area of white fields, is my last time seeing her, but she's holding my hands and we're spinning.
What's her name?
I believe I'd given her a name before, but we'll just have to retcon that. Renalia. Rin for short.
Renalia is holding on to your hand. You are both laughing and you are spinning. But she looks older. Just like the Maypri that's in this isn't 9-year-old Maypri. This is you, current age Maypri. With a... what Rin would be... what you think Rin would look like. At her age now.
Can I stop us from spinning? I'm shook. Like, I need... What's happening?
What do you mean?
Why am I here? This isn't where I should be. I was fighting. I was helping some people. There was a battle going on around me. I'm not supposed to be asleep. Help! Can you wake me up?
You're not sleeping, Bunny. Just because we got out of the city walls for a little bit. Come on. I'll race you to that rock.
Rin, stop. Rin, come on.
Last one, there's a rotten egg. You gotta buy lunch. And Rin takes off.
gonna follow, stubborn and confused.
Okay, give me some athletics.
13.
Okay. It's either that or dex, but you're better at athletics.
Yes, so. I had a plus 6, but I
okay.
Didn't roll
well,
very well.
You beat them.
Okay.
And they rolled an 11, so it's close. Mm-hmm. How do you overtake Rin?
I think my imagining of her as an adult is smaller than me. I'd always joked about growing up to be taller, bigger, and stronger. But as kids, you know, you're all just like these weird, long, gangly people. And so my imagining of adult Rin is that she never quite became as tall as me. You know, her legs aren't as long. Therefore, like, this race was nothing. I've got the longest, strongest legs around. And I definitely would probably take a moment to boast about that. I mean, Mapri can't just win without really winning.
Ah, again, Mapri! Can't you just, like, let me win at least once?
No, never. Okay, that was fun, but this isn't real. This isn't what I should be doing.
What's wrong, Mapri? Are you scared?
Yes! I'm always scared!
Bianca Zelda here to talk to you about a sponsored message, specifically for Roll20, even more specifically about Charactermancer, not Necromancer, Charactermancer. It's like creating your character sheet from the dead and bringing it to life from basically nothing. Charactermancer is D&D with easy to create and level up D&D character sheets. It even has Pathfinder, first edition, to create your Pathfinder character. Charactermancer is bringing to life that which never existed. You can even click to roll on your character sheets. Click on the stat and the dice rolls automatically. That's like bringing dice back to life, except are inanimate objects really dead? Roll20 is a virtual tabletop. Roll20 runs from your web browser. You can create a free account on roll20.net, also roll20.net/broadsquad. Sign up now.
Hi, Victoria here. We have another review. This one is from Jinx Level 2000 via Apple Podcasts from the United States of America. It's called New Listener. Well, hello, new listener. I was looking for a new D&D podcast to keep my attention off the quarantine. I recommend this one highly. Thank you so much. The ladies really know how to tell a story in their play. I have never had the pleasure of playing D&D. Oh, why not? You should. But I still really enjoy that the rules and play are easy to follow. Fun for all ages. Well, we don't really aim to be for all ages, but I'm glad that people think that their children can listen to us. I don't know what I think about that, but yay! I have only been able to find the second season. Uh-oh. I would love to hear the first sometime, though. Still, I love the broads and can't wait to hear their next episode. Well, friend, you can find our first season. It is on any podcatcher app that you can find on your phone, and you can find it on websites like Stitcher.com. It's not on our website because our website only allows a certain amount of episodes at a time, unfortunately, which is why you probably couldn't find it. But it is available all sorts of places, so please seek it out. Go take a look, because we had fun making that first one. So if you like what you hear, please leave a review. It helps other people find us. And we like hearing feedback from you. It makes our days.
And everyone needs some happiness these days. Even us. Even us. Though playing this game certainly is a highlight of our week every Tuesday. All right. Let's get back to it. And her face begins to elongate. Her body begins to morph until a massive, gargantuan being is before you.
No, thank you.
They are black. Full of scales and spikes and horns bursting out of them. A massive worm is in front of you. Keela, you are minning the ballistas and or whatever weapon it was that you said that you were wielding. And the ring on your hand begins to get warm.
Not right now. Wait. This is important.
The tingle starts to spread.
Really? And I twist the ring.
And everything around you fades away. It's rather more gentle since you just accepted it a bit more than everyone else. It's less jarring. And they smell like sour ale and fresh vomit. You take a hold of their arm and guide them down the stairs. Who is it? Why are you in this situation? And where are you taking them?
Back when Rula and I used to travel together, there was another bard that we sometimes traveled with. I don't think that they ever gave us their real name, but they insisted that they go by Smith. And when there was a time when Rula and Smith were performing for a noble, that noble was rather upset by the words that were spoken about him, and Smith has realized the trouble that they've gotten us in, and I'm trying to guide them down into a cellar, since they have gotten themselves rather drunk out of fear. I'm taking them down into a cellar in the bar to try and maybe talk some sense into them outside of the public eye.
I'm fine.
We will be fine. We just have to keep our heads on our shoulders.
No. She's really pretty. I want to go talk to her. Need to go talk to her.
Smith, do you realize what's going on? This isn't the priority now. We need to get out of town. Why am I the one talking sense right now?
Get on my back. I bet I can lift you. Get on my back.
I know that you can. Why am I the one who's being sensible right now? This is... You know we're in trouble right now when I'm the...
Come on. Get on my back.
I climb on their back.
You're on the stairs on the back of a drunk person. This will end well. you get on their back. I guess I'm going to do some dexterity at disadvantage for this Smith.
I'm rooting for Smith.
I rolled 2 15s. So it's shaky. There are some close calls, and there are some moments where Smith like reaches their hand out and like leans up against the wall, you know, to balance themselves. But you manage to get to the bottom of the stairs without dying, and that's a good thing.
Smith is like, I'm imagining now, a very large and sturdy human.
Okay. Yep, so they get you down. I did it. I got you down the stairs.
Petition to have Smith become a major NPC.
You realize, everyone, that I am just channeling certain people that I know.
I'm sorry, what? Do Smith and I have something in common? No. No, 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 no. Oh, heck.
Okay. I'm going to walk, because I'm imagining when they carry me down the stairs, you know, I'm behind them. So I'm going to walk in front of them, reach up to take their shoulders and look into their eyes and say, I'm really proud of you for taking me down the stairs. But like, for 5 seconds, we need to think about the fact that we just pissed off a big time noble and we need to get the fuck out of town.
He deserved it.
I know.
See his face.
I know, and it was really good, but that doesn't mean that he might not kill us.
He can try.
Smith?
Mm-hmm?
I still would rather not have him try.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, do you want me to splash some cold water in your face?
No. No.
Do you want a tobacco pipe?
Yeah.
Okay, let's get out of town and then I'll give you a pipe of tobacco and I'll make you dinner.
Oh.
Are you still with me? Still here?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I'm here.
Okay. Step one. We're gonna go upstairs and get Rula.
What's this?
What's what?
This. And he stumbles off into the darkness of the cellar.
I'm gonna follow them.
Oh, sorry. They follow. They stumble into the darkness. And yeah, it's... Oh! It's a keg! Look! It's a keg!
It is, and I don't think that's what we need right now. Once again, why am I being the voice of reason in this moment?
We're good. We're fine. The guards loved it. The guards thought it was funny.
I mean...
Help me open this keg. Do you think I could carry it up the stairs?
How about you... Don't?
I can bring it to our room. You can have a keg. A whole keg. A keg.
Smith, my friend, I really think this is a bad idea.
There is a loud ruckus from upstairs, from the common room, as the front door pounds open and slams against the wall. You hear many heavily booted feet on the floorboards above you.
Smith, hide now!
I'm gonna get this keg upstairs.
I hide.
Upstairs, up! Stairs, okay.
Yeah, I hide.
One,
they're on their own.
2, 3. Whoopsie daisy!
Let's roll.
Look, Keela, look! And as Smith is victoriously lifting the keg up off the ground and like hugging it and like doing that waddle walk with it, and it's totally not a safe like pickup, that back is arched, it's not good for him at all. And he's waddling, I got a keg. Okay, give me a stealth roll, please, since you're hiding.
Oh! It's a 9.
Okay, so you hide, but the problem, like, it might have been okay, except for the fact that Smith is yelling your name. Keela, look! Keela, look at this! Look at this! Keela, 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 look! Look! And then there is a burst of light as the, you know, the cellar door at the top of the stairs opens, and there is a bunch of guards at the top of the stairs.
Oh, okay.
Uh-oh! Keela, you're right! Hi! I got a keg. What's up? What's Keela doing?
I mean, the guards have seen me at this point, and I know that the guards have seen me. I want to try and run up the stairs past the guards, just like see if I can use speed to get past mm-hmm. them, because Smith is on their own right now. They're too drunk for me to try and wrangle them while trying to save myself.
Mm-hmm. As you are beginning to race up the stairs, there is a odd tremble in the ground. And from the side of the cellar, you can feel movement. Things on shelves begin to shake. Kegs begin to tremble on their stands. And those on the stairs, including our friend Smith, who's going like, oh, 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 I got it! I got it! I got it! They're doing that whole shtick. And from the side of the wall comes bursting open. Spray of sharp pieces of rock, of wooden splinters from the shelves. A splatter of wine and ale goes all over you. I need you to give me a dexterity saving throw, please.
16.
You take 10 points of damage as you are hit. You manage to, like, burst out of the side. How do you, like, because you essentially, you passed, so you only took half damage. So how did you avoid the bulk of the damage? Or half of it?
I was trying to run out of the cellar and trying to run forwards. When I see the wall start to shake and break, I actually take a leap back down the stairs. It's counterintuitive, but I think it's the only way that I can avoid damage.
Yalaris, when you are buffeted by the golden dragons that launch themselves up into the air in unison, all the wind and the dust that starts blowing around kind of blocks your vision. When it mm-hmm. settles, we find yourself in this particular place. Now, this is a place that when you were 7, you hid your most prized possession. What is this possession? Where did you hide it? And who are you hiding it from?
So I think there were several loose floorboards under my bed that I discovered and used as a place to stash important things. And I think my most prized possession at 7 was the very first startings of a spellbook that I had made with one spell, the beginnings of it etched in sort of like a child's scrawl. And I was hiding it from my grandfather.
So you are under the bed. Mm-hmm. And you are just closing that up. And you hear footsteps in the hall.
I think I would quickly sort of roll out from under the bed and like scramble on top of the bed and just like pick up whatever book was closest and pretend to be reading it.
You're Larry's.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to go to the promenade.
Just a second. Whose voice was it?
Your mother's.
Okay. I'll go open the door.
What have you been doing? Oh.
Just reading.
What are you reading? She picks up the book.
I don't think I remember what the book was. Oh, you know, magic things?
Hmm. Just make sure you keep this away from Grandfather.
Oh, I will. Until he can't ignore it.
Hmm. I'm sure that day will come. But patience.
Give her a little smile.
Are you ready? Where's your bonnet?
I'll sort of sprint back into the room and dig through a pile of books and find it under there.
Okay, it's a little wrinkly.
Yeah.
This is pre-poised Yularis. And you kind of shove it on your head. Your mother laughs and straightens it and ties it the bow nice and neat underneath your chin. And she holds out her hand.
And grab it.
And off you go to the big promenade. It's really just a boardwalk where people walk around in circles, generally. It's like a big track. Mm-hmm. And there are seats and, you know, flowers and shaded areas for people to have breaks. But really, you just walk and talk.
Mm-hmm.
And you're there to be seen and show off your dresses and gossip and all of that fun stuff. I don't know how fun that is to a 7-year-old, but you know.
I imagine, though, that Yularis is very much that that kid who just sort of gives you a blow-by-blow of the last book they've been reading, or like the last show that they've watched, the last game they played, and then this happens, and then that happened, and then that person said that, and then that said that, and then they did this, and then that talked about that, and that spell was really cool, and then did you know that they have dragons? And just like constant litany of everything she's read.
And that keeps her mother entertained. And she's very accommodating. She finds it quite amusing. Also, I mean, she has personal reasons to encourage your magic. So as you're walking, there is a putrid stench that erupts from a waterfall. And when I say erupts, I mean it's not just the stench. Water goes flying up into the air. And this stench comes out. And I need you to give me a wisdom saving throw.
What kind of stats do I use for a 7-year-old Yularis? Just like tens across the board? Or?
You're not really 7-year-old Yularis.
Okay.
This is like That's weird.
Fair. Yeah.
Weird, vision-y, dreamy, bizarro land.
So, wisdom saving throw?
No, I misspoke. Constitution.
Oh, I'm no good at those. That's a 7.
Okay.
Oh, no. Oh, I don't like how she said that.
I need the advanced dice roller.
What does that mean?
You will find out, and you're not gonna like it. I'm not gonna like it, Evelyn.
Oh no.
Oh.
What?
What?
60? What does that mean?
60 what?
You don't feel well.
No, I don't.
In fact, everyone around you is not feeling well, and people start dropping. They start clutching at their stomachs, and you are too. As pain just starts to rack, at first through your lungs, because you're breathing that stench in, and then it starts to just travel through your lungs and through your blood system, and it's just going through your entire body at very fast speeds.
Mama?
You Larry? Yo, Larry's. You are on your knees, and your mother grabs onto you, kind of the fetal position to protect you. You don't really feel her anymore. You don't really hear anything around you. And there's a little bit of a stillness for a moment. And then it goes black. Well, is Ylaris alive? Right now? No. No, she is not. So, we will see you next time with what happens on the 18th. Remember, be safe and be kind to yourself and those around you. Because the world needs all of the kindness it can get right now. See you next time. We have one new patron. We have Adam Barnello. So thank you, Adam, and welcome, welcome, welcome. And for those of you who can be patrons in these trying times, our Patreon is at patreon.com/thebroadswords. And there are bonus episodes, there are doodles by Bianca, there is a Ylaris advice column, my DM notes, and all sorts of things go up there for you. And for those of you who cannot, do not worry. We completely, utterly understand. It's a mess out there, so we get it. We do have a store coming up that is with Don't Forget to Be Awesome, so DFTBA, and that is going to be going up on Monday, this Monday, that is April 6th. It's just going to be a digital store right now because we can't really sell items due to the pandemic, but we do have a Broadswords theme song ringtone, and we have some beautiful artwork that we're selling as cell phone wallpapers. That artwork is by Aki Dead. Aki Dead has done so much work for us, and we can't stress how much we love her work. So check that out on Monday, April 6th. There is a loud cacophony of sound as their beating of their wings crescendos up. As the beating of their... Oh God.
Okay. Cough really punctuates it.
Yeah, maybe I can turn those into sound effects. Keela.
Yeah.
They smell like sour ale and fresh vomit. You take hold of their arm and guide them down the stairs. Who is it? Why are you in this situation? And where are you taking them?
I'm still on the boat?
Oh, wait. Yeah. Right. Sorry. Rewind. Okay. Hilarious.
One second. I have to evict the puppy.
Mm-hmm. Taco baby, come here. Thank you for coming to say hi, puppy. Come on, sweet boy. Go try it now. Okay, but no way, baby. I'm sorry.
But I want to be in there.
Sorry.
It's okay. My dog bursts into the room sometimes, too.
Our door was not as well fastened as I thought it was.
Mm-hmm. And that's that for that one.
That's what?
Did I take 60 points of damage?
Poison.
Sweet. I
didn't even do the necrotic damage.
Yeah, well, you didn't need to. Down no, for 4D8, the count.
But I knew you didn't have 60. If our barbarian had 61, you didn't have 60.
I don't. I definitely don't. Hilarious is down.
So sorry, stopping?
What is happening?
Oh, dang.
Theme music by Victoria Rogers. Other music was found on soundstripe.com. Songs heard were Pursuing Providence by Cody Martin, Salem by Dresden the Flamingo, Spring Embrace, Cody Martin, The Last Stand, Cody Martin, The Void, Cody Martin, Waltz of the Winds, Cody Martin, and Wesley Swing by Titus. Other songs were Cottages by Kevin MacLeod of incomptech.filmmusic.io.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.